All right, I have the audio for you. This is the Holistic Travel Nurse. I've got some history, if you didn't know, about the big pharma and the Rockefellers, and I'm going to try to split this in two. This stuff used to be on YouTube everywhere, and it was just ignored. I guess, you know, I think now it took the true evil coming out of the planned pandemic, the evil shit that doctors are speaking up about, and the evil that you see around you globally as we see people trying to take over us and treat us like slaves. That's what I feel is kind of going on. This is just for hearsay. And this, there's like, used to be a longer documentary, and it's like super hidden on the internet now. So I found bits and pieces of the Rockefellers in the history of Big Pharma and the evilness. And I think this needs to be shared. You need to hear the truth. And it's hard to go to the research. You have to go to duck.go. Go do your research. But listen to this. If you want the video, you have to send me an email or message. Email's best. I'm not getting them so much on Instagram. My Instagram is growing so much that I get too many DMs and it's really hard for me to go through. So if you want to reach out to me, do it via email. That's all in the show notes. Take a listen to this.
At the same time, the John D. Rockefeller seized U.S. media. He also hijacked U.S. medicine. When it was discovered that drugs could be produced from petroleum, America's top oil mogul ordered his army of propagandists to invert reality accordingly. Medicines used for thousands of years were suddenly classified as alternative, while the new, petroleum-based, highly addictive, and patentable drugs were declared the gold standard. After buying a German pharmaceutical company that manufactured chemicals of war for Adolf Hitler, Rockefeller leveraged his political influence by pressing Congress to declare natural healing modalities unscientific quackery. Rockefeller then took control of the American Medical Association and began offering massive grants to top medical schools under the mandate that only his approved curriculum be taught. Any mention of the healing powers of herbs, plants, and diet was erased from most medical textbooks. Doctors and professors who objected to Rockefeller's plan were crucified by the media, removed from the AMA, and stripped of their license to teach and practice medicine. Those who dared to speak out were arrested and jailed. When evidence began to emerge that petroleum-based medicines were causing cancer, Mr. Rockefeller founded the American Cancer Society, through which he suppressed that information. John D. Rockefeller is duly credited as the founder of the pharmaceutical industry and the reason that medical error is currently the third leading cause of death in America. This is not an indictment against doctors. More than anyone, they are under the stranglehold of the single largest lobbying power in Washington. Every year, the pharmaceutical industry spends at least twice the amount as Big Oil to influence laws, policies, and public perception. Thanks to Mr. Rockefeller, the architect of American monopolies, no industry has more power over our lives than Big Pharma.
Okay, so that was that short clip. I have to go back to the other ones to get, like, the other history. There's a lot in here, and so I'm trying to decide which ones are important to put out on the podcast, and that one is the one I'm wanting. And then there's, if you don't know about the Rockefeller plan and their lockstep and what they were planning, here's another one. This one's really good about the Rockefeller Foundation. And think about it. Go research the Rockefeller Foundation. All right. Check this out. Well, now it's not even opening up. That's the thing, censorship. Can't even open up the thing that wants to play. It says the playbook or the websites have been disabled. can't believe that. Wow. Let's see if this one opens. It's like you found it and I opened it like earlier and now it won't open. Well, that one's not in English. So let's find one that's in English. Okay. This is the one. Let's see this one. Harry Vox in 2014 exposed. Wow. Something's happening. None of these things are opening. Okay. 1923 to 2010, the Rockefeller's medical conspiracy.
Now the murder by injection topic of my speech tonight is a survey of our healthcare system. Now, when I started this book, I started from scratch because I had had practically no experience with doctors or hospitals in my life. And I really had no idea how they operated or what they were up to. And as I got into it, I really was horrified to find out what is really being done in the name of medicine in this country. Now, there were three people whom I used as guidestones in this, in my research. They were Dr. Emanuel Josephson of New York, whom I had known many years ago, and he wrote a book in 1939 called Your Life is Their Toy, which was a very early book about the drug trust. Now, the second man was a former Washington sports writer named Morris Beale. And,
I have a homeopathic remedy here for a cough.
Oh, give me that, because this just hit me. What, just dropping
it? It's
in?
Under the tongue.
I don't know. No. I hope that'll do it. No, of course, like many of us, I've been fighting a cold the last few weeks, but this one had pretty well disappeared, I thought. Oh, yes, Morris Beale, yeah, that's right, B-E-A-L-L-E. Now, Morris Beale was a Washington sports writer and journalist who, when he found out what the doctors were doing, that he thought that was more interesting than any sports games that he had ever looked into. So he started to write about that. And he was the first person, as far as I know, to discover that the Rockefellers controlled all of the major drug companies. Now, when I first read that in Morris Beale, I said, well, this man certainly has done some good work, but he simply is going too far to say this. Now, one family could not control all of the major drug companies. Well, I researched it out, and I found that he was absolutely correct. And in fact, in Murder by Injection, I give the list of officers and directors of each of the major 18 drug companies in the world, and every one of those companies has two or three people from the Rockefeller interests on their boards. So the influence is very blatant, it's omnipresent, and they do control this entire situation. Now, the third man whom I benefited from was, of course, the late Dr. Robert Mendelsohn, who died very untimely last year. And it was Dr. Mendelsohn who coined the phrase, the Church of Modern Medicine, because he said that medical practice had now become a temple and that its practitioners were beyond reproach. They were little tin gods, and that the people had to do whatever they were ordered to do by these people. He elaborated on this by saying that this Church of Modern Medicine has four holy waters, which are vaccination, fluoridation, the silver nitrate, and intravenous feeding. And he commented that as a practicing physician himself, he had found all four of these things to be a very doubtful merit in medical practice. But of course, that didn't discourage them. They still swear by those four things, particularly vaccination and fluoridated water. And one of the last things that Dr. Mendelsohn said before he passed away, he told a friend, Clint Miller, he said, you know, I've had to come to the conclusion that all of our doctors today are nothing but drug pushers. And that was a harsh assessment, but I would tend to agree with him, because what the doctors are doing, they're simply writing prescriptions for the drug trust and loading people up with all these things. And I, in the Library of Congress, I found some very small, unknown books by various doctors, which doctors who were dissenting from the medical practice over the past 50 or 60 years. One of them was a Dr. W.B. Clark of Indiana. And in his book, I found a very interesting sentence. He said, I never saw a case of cancer in an unvaccinated person. Now, he wrote this in 1936. So to me, that was quite a revelation. And other doctors have said the same thing, that vaccination is really a time bomb within the human system that can go off 5 years, 10 years, 40 years after they have the vaccination. You can have this time bomb go off. You could have a stroke, a heart attack, because it's always there in your system. You never get rid of it. And apparently, it's always an alien force in your physique. Now, one of the things that I have found in the healthcare movement in this country is that we tend to be too modest about the situation. Some of them call it alternative healthcare. But I say that it's not an alternative, because the alternative really is death. If you don't get away from this malpractice of the licensed physicians. So to me, the choice is between health care and unhealthy care. So what you want to find is the health care which will benefit you, and you want to stay away from the unhealthy care and the drugs and radical surgery of the AMA. Now, modern medicine today in the United States is a $650 billion a year business. And it is a business. It's not a profession. It's strictly a business. Now, our new president is very concerned about health care problems. He is so concerned that he has chosen a presidential commission on health care. And as chairman of this commission, he has named Senator John D. Rockefeller IV. So you have nothing more to worry about, because the family that controls the drug trust is now carrying out Bush's recommendation to improve health care in the United States. So you see, things are in good hands. Now, I was really shocked at how political the AMA was when I began to investigate it, because I say I'd never had any contact with it. I did meet a doctor here in Florida who was so disgusted with what his fellow doctors were doing to the American people that he didn't quit the AMA, he quit the medical profession. And he even gave me his card. He said, Eustace, you can have my card. So I have a card as membership in the AMA today. Of course, it's not in my name, but I do have the card. And he would not practice anymore, and this man was a very conscientious physician, and I think he could have done a lot of good. But you see, what happens is you cannot be an individual in medical practice today because of the unionization of the profession. And even as a conscientious physician, he would have to go and be on the staff of a hospital or take his patients over to a hospital where he would know personally that they were not going to be treated the way they should be. And rather than endure that, he just got out of the whole profession. Now, I had another friend in Chicago, a very good doctor. We used to have dinner together quite frequently over the years. And he also finally quit because he told me some horror stories about what was going on in the hospitals. He said that a neighbor had had a stroke, a man in his 60s, and that they were his best friends, and that they took this man to the hospital, and all he needed was rest and bed care to see, you know, what developed from the stroke. But the surgeons at the hospital got together and they chopped open his chest and they did all sorts of things and they charged him $35,000 and of course he died. And this doctor told me this almost with tears in his voice, that they would have done this to one of his best friends and his neighbors. Now you can multiply that sort of thing by many thousands throughout the United States to find out what the medical practitioners are doing. Now we have to ask ourselves, what are the achievements of the American Medical Association? What does it have to offer in its defense? The only thing I can find that the AMA has done, it has enthroned a particular school of medicine, which is called allopathy, and replaced our traditional, natural, homeopathic remedies, which pretty well gave us good health during the 19th century.
Well, you can't find the whole thing of it, but there's one of it. So now you have an interest in what book you want to buy. And this guy's speaking about the evil of the Rockefellers. And then there was another video that opened up this morning that said the Rockefellers' agenda. That's what I'm going to try to find. Oh, yep, Lockstep. There we go. Here it is. And then I'll play the other one.
Script and plan to introduce martial law and a permanent method for total control of the citizenry. In this plan that they disguised as an academic scenario, as they called it, the method they would use to gain complete prison-like control of the entire population was to infect them with a devastating biological pandemic, and then, under the guise of protecting us from this threat, they would be free to implement their final solution, a prison state. The prison state that they need to keep their grip on power. As usual, the fascists disguise their crimes as helping us. And as is typical of this new type of fascism, they always make the claim that we the people are begging them to have more and more control over us. As you watch this video, remember that the deep state concocted this scheme in 2010 as a quote-unquote simulation of what is to come. The following is proof that the deep state is behind these viral pandemics. Absolutely, positively, pandemics are now the tool of choice for the fascists, known as the deep state, and the private contractors that they contract these pandemics out to. For the deep state, to make an international pandemic isn't even a high-tech operation, it's a no-tech operation. It's easy. A simple vial of Ebola, SARS, MERS, Spanish flu, or coronavirus, or whatever they come up with in their secret bioweapons lab, is all they need to bring the world into their total control. The only thing you have to remember is if they can do it, they will do it, which means they already have done it.
The ruling establishment has a lot of, they will stop at nothing to complete their toolkit of control, right? So one of the things that has been missing from the toolkit of total control has been quarantines and curfews, right? Mm-hmm. So now, welcome to the new world in America, where to get on a bus, to go through a subway station, if you think that the procedures at the TSA are onerous, right? Guess this is coming to a bus depot near you. It's a more invasive way, and the ruling class needs this because, let me say, if the ruling class ever saw wide-scale civil unrest, you'd see an Ebola outbreak in America right away.
Okay, so this is, what you see is that Ebola is...
another tool in the toolbox of the ruling
of
class
repression
control.
To keep down
absolutely
repression.
Positively, 100%, this is a tool.
Right.
Ebola doesn't just magically start spreading. Mm-hmm. And then we have this doctors that come back here, the white people, of course, live. Mm-hmm. You know, the two whites who got it or survived. All the black people that get it die. Right? It's very possible that one of these NGOs over there is going around with a veil of Ebola or spreading it from a small plane onto villages. The point is to get hundreds of thousands of people infected with it and create the next phase of control. Now, one of the things I'd like to show to back up my claims here Here's a document from the Rockefeller Foundation. Rockefeller Foundation right there. You can zoom in on that where my finger is. It's called Scenarios for the Future International Development, the Rockefeller Foundation. All right? Okay, let's take a look at what they're saying here. This is something like a 50, 60-page document. I'd like you to go to page 18 if you can look at this up on the internet, but I'll read it off to you. It's called lockstep, lockstep. And this is a phrase that I used right after 2001 when I saw the entire system of the United States, including the population, were in lockstep. So the Congress went along, and yes, it was Osama bin Laden, and the people waved their flag and said, I hate, 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 and everything was in lockstep. Well, in 2010, they published this, Rockefeller Foundation, and here's what they're saying. They're saying that they call it a scenario. These are scenario narratives, and they speak about it in the past tense. So they put out this scenario, lockstep. A world of tighter top-down government control and more authoritarian leadership with limited innovation and growing citizen pushback. Okay, I'll read a little bit of it. In 2012, the pandemic that the world had been anticipating for years, nobody was anticipating a pandemic, finally hit. Unlike 2009's H1N1, this new influenza strain originating from wild geese, they use some scenario, but this is Ebola they're talking about. Ahead. Even the most pandemic prepared nations were quickly overwhelmed when the virus streaked around the world, infecting nearly 20% of the global population and killing 8 million in just 7 months, the majority of them healthy young adults. The pandemic also had a deadly effect on economies. You can see the agenda, just naked, raw, naked control agenda written down, and it's anybody's guess how this becomes effectuated in real life. So whether this is written specifically as marching orders or whether people take it upon themselves in the intelligence networks to say, okay, well, this has been produced, so this is the plan here. But these narratives have to be written in advance because the intelligence agencies don't know how to do this, these narratives. They need help. So these think tanks, they come up with these like Rand Corporation, Rockefeller Foundation. These are think tanks of death. They're not there to find great ways to help people. Right? Okay, the pandemic also had a deadly effect on economics. International mobility of both people and goods screeched to a halt, right? Which is what they want. They want a completely isolated world, right? Debilitating industries like tourism and breaking global supply chains. Well, of course they want tourism stopped because they're not in the tourism business, and they want you at home in your house in front of the TV. Then they got you, because once you watch the TV, they own your soul. Even locally,
wait a second, we're on television.
I mean commercial television, let's say national. Yeah. Even locally, normally bustling shops and offices sat empty for months. Okay, so I love how they talk about it in the past tense in 2010. The pandemic blanketed the planet, though disproportionate numbers in Africa died. Southeast Asia and Central America, where the virus spread like wildfire.
It sounds like the opening monologue of a disaster movie, right?
Exactly. Now listen, here's the good stuff now. But even in developed countries, containment was a challenge. Now here's this one. I love this one. The United States' initial policy of strongly discouraging, in quotation marks, strongly discouraging citizens from flying proved deadly in its leniency. Proved deadly in its leniency. So they should have been tougher, right? Accelerating the spread of the virus, not just within the United States, but across borders. However, a few countries did fare better. China in particular. The Chinese government's quick imposition and enforcement of mandatory quarantine for all citizens, as well as its instant and near hermetic sealing off of all borders, saved millions of lives, stopping the spread of virus far earlier than in other countries. So the message is here is we have to look towards the Chinese, the oppressive totalitarian Chinese regime, as an example of what we need to be doing here. And of course, the ruling class here loves the Chinese regime because they have demonstrated to the ruling class the most efficient form of capitalism, which is authoritarian capitalism. So we have capitalism, but unfortunately we have this like veil.
I get it.
We have this veil of democracy.
This is very interesting. This is, continue on.
Okay. Okay. China's government was not the only one that took extreme measures to protect its citizens from risk and exposure. During the pandemic, national leaders around the world flexed their muscles, flexed their authority, and imposed airtight rules and restrictions. You can see the agenda.
Okay, no, go.
Okay. From the mandatory wearing of face masks to body temperature checks at the entries to communal spaces like
that's what's happening right
trained,
now.
Yeah, but soon it's going to be like body, you know.
It'll be at the subway?
Yeah. Well,
is that what you're saying? We'll be going through this in the subway to get on buses and the subway?
Absolutely.
Things
positively.
Like that.
And what this means, though, is, you know, don't think about having a cigarette, a joint on you, or, you know what I mean? Basically, you can't. This is a dragnet for everything. So if in order for you...
Oh, in other words, just like with stop and frisk, this is ultimate stop and frisk.
This is cavity stop and frisk, cavity search kind of thing. All right, so during the pandemic, national leaders around the world flex their authority. You know, now, there's some good stuff. Listen to this. And even supermarkets, they want body checks at supermarkets, okay? So basically, what they're saying is they're building a system where every move you make,
you've got to
go through them.
You can't get food. Well, how about if you go to the farmer's market?
Here's the good stuff now. I mean, it just keeps getting better. Even after the pandemic faded, this more authoritarian control and oversight of citizens and their activities stuck. And even intensified. That's the whole point. So they're going to get rid of...
Did that happen already with 9/11?
Of course.
9/11 was how many, 14 years ago? And we still have all these draconian
rules. So they're going to put the body cavity
searches
in.
USA Patriot and all
that. That's right. So in order to get to a supermarket, you got to have a body cavity search. And then when there's no more Ebola, well, you know what? We kind of like this way because we have an incomplete infrastructure of a control grid. In order to protect themselves from the spread of increasingly global problems, from pandemics and national terrorism to environmental crisis and rising poverty, leaders around the world took a firmer grip on power. Well, what the hell would rising poverty have anything to do with imposing strict citizen controls with face masks? So they're very sloppy stuff here. At first, the notion of a more controlled world gained wide acceptance and approval. I'm sorry. Nobody likes this stuff. They're just saying it. I have to provide analysis.
We only have 5 minutes left, so that's
Oh my God, okay. Citizens willingly gave up some of their sovereignty and their privacy to more paternalistic states in exchange for greater safety and stability. I mean, that's just a complete naked contradiction to the famous saying that if you think you're going to give up a little bit of security, I mean, if you're going to give up your freedom for security, you're going to get neither. That's the long standing thing. And here what they're doing is they're not even ashamed or embarrassed to absolutely say the exact opposite. They're saying, yes, we all want to give up our privacy and sovereignty for more stability and security and stability. So you don't get that. When you give it up like that, you get the shaft.
Can you show us the cover again of what you were just reading?
One more time, and then I have
two more documents. Right, this is what we were reading here, and just zoom in a little bit so folks can see it. He'll zoom in. Don't worry, you can relax.
Right.
And scenarios for the future of technology and international development.
All right, so that used to be on YouTube. If you can find it on the YouTube still, then that's awesome. But I found a new thing that's showing the conspiracies, the stuff that is being censored ridiculously and has been taken off the YouTube. And because they're like, oh, shoot, people are waking up to the agenda. This is the crap we're doing to them. They're waking up to this. And we don't want them waking up. We don't want them waking up. We don't want them to know that what Big Pharma is doing. We don't want them to have good health. We want them to be under control. And now you see it, and now you hear it, and then there are books, and there are people telling you this is what's going on. This is the president, Abua, whatever, blows the whistle on COVID-19. So let me see if I can get this play. It's only 7 minutes.
Hey guys, Millennial Mikey here, and we need to talk. So, what you're looking at right now in front of you is a video that a subscriber sent me of the president of Ghana. I believe his name is President Nana Akufo-Addo. And he says some pretty insightful, very important information, and I think he's trying to get a warning out to the world about exactly what's happening with this whole COVID-19 thing. This guy is spot on, and he's telling the truth, and I'm telling you something. If we had more leaders like this guy, this world would be a lot better. And I give this guy massive respect for trying to get the truth out to the people. This video is on YouTube, and it's been up since June 21st, so, and it has over 28,000 views. So it hasn't been pulled down yet, but I wouldn't count on it being up very longer, because there's just a lot of truth bombs he's dropping in this video. I'm only going to play about a little bit more than 2 minutes of the video. And I will leave a link to the entire video on all my channels so you can watch it in its entirety. You have to watch the whole thing. It's a 14-minute video, but it is worth your time. But let's not waste any time. I'm going to play about 2.5 minutes here. Here we go.
Keep the public quarantine for as long as possible to destroy the region's economy. Can you see? Can you see? To destroy the region's economy, create civil unrest, break down the supply chain, and cause the start of mass food shortages, as well as cause people's immune system to weaken due to lack of interaction with other people, bacteria, the outside world, also known as or ACA, the things that keep our immune system alert and alive. So this thing we are doing is actually making us susceptible
Hey guys, Millennial Mikey here, and system.
That's why we should go out. They are joking. Downplay and attack any potential treatments and continue to echo that only a cure is viable to fight this virus, ACA, or also known as a vaccine. Continue to drag out the quarantine over and over and over again in 2 week intervals. Causing more and more people to eventually stand up and protest or defy them. Eventually, God have mercy. Eventually, end the phase one quarantine once they get enough public pushback around June 2020 and publicly say that they still think it is too early to end the isolation but are going to do it anyways. Once the public go back to normal, wait a few weeks and then continue to overhype the recess strain mortality rate, August to September 2020, and combine it with the increase in deaths due to people dying from standard illnesses at a higher rate than normal due to having highly weakened immune systems from months of being in isolation, to help further pad the mortality rate and hype the upcoming phase two lockdown. So there's a phase two lockdown they are planning. Eventually enact phase two quarantines, October to November, on an even more extreme level, and blame the protesters, mostly people who don't trust their government already.
Okay, so there you have it. He drops, just in that 2 minute plus clip, he drops.
Yeah, and that video that I wanted to, my computer is being so bad. Anyways, it's gone. Like, you wanted to click on it and it was on YouTube. It's been totally taken down. That's what I'm saying. So it's getting harder and harder because I think there are more people that are waking up globally and they're pushed back. And the media is not showing that crap. We have to come together and make sure you're not watching any mainstream media. It's shutting it off, not having it on, because that's going to support them. Even if you are just see what's going on out there and see what the negativity. They have been programming you. It's funny because, like, we've been trying to tell that to other people and they're like, no, that's not true. And I'm like, yeah, it is true. It's very true. Anywho, like, I uploaded something and I'm going to documents. I wanted to put it on my computer, and it's like gone. Can't find things to upload. Anywho, this is what happens. Things are just like coming off, like, and then I expect these websites that I'm finding this stuff to be like pulled down, taken down, or whatever. So realize it is getting really hard. And let me see where I'm at on time. Because I thought this was, okay, we'll keep it short for this time. But this was so important because these are being pulled down. You can't find them on YouTube anymore. The censorship is real. So share this, share this, share this, share this. More people need to know the truth. Okay.